Orioles and Rangers, game two of the four-game series at 7 o'clock tonight. Right across the street is where Pickles here across the street from Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And we've been talking a lot over the last few days. How aggressive will the Orioles be as the trade deadline is, what, 32 days away? Well, let's talk to our friend Jim Duquette, former Orioles exec, now on MLB Network Radio. And, Jim, thanks as always for joining us. So how aggressive do you think the Orioles will be as the trade deadline approaches?
Well, I think that I'm expecting them to be aggressive as one of the few teams that has a chance to go deep into the postseason. And, you know, I think that they're one of the few teams that, as we've talked about before, that have the prospect capital to get this done. They also have the ability to take on money, which, as we've seen, you know, in places – like last year with the Astros, if you took on a combination of money and prospects, that is also a way to add. So, you know, they're a real force, I think, on the deadline. And I think this is, you know, it's an important test here for the organization, not just Mike Elias, but the new ownership group, really.
Could you see a scenario, though, Jim, where they assess everything? You say, hey, you know, Crochet is allegedly the top guy. You know, he's a converted reliever whose arm might fall off, right, who's in uncharted territory. Like, right. There was a buyer's pitcher market this past offseason. It might be a buyer's market again next year, and we fill some of our holes there. And we keep all of or most of our top 8 to 10 prospects. You know, and you know, maybe we win on Fetty, maybe we don't. Maybe it's Lance Lynn, something like that. And we just sort of see what that looks like, but we keep having these great hands to play in the future. Could you see them playing the long game?
I mean, listen, I do think that there's a possibility of that for sure. I mean, we already know they're going to get to the postseason, and a lot of times, you know, there's a number of executives around the game that believe that it's a crapshoot. To get in, once you get into the postseason, like if you're playing well, you know, or you're hot, you can run the table as you're kind of built. They do have to do something. I think we kind of know that. But I do think there's a scenario that, you know, that, like you said, Crochet's the best guy. He's not a perfect candidate because he's going to, I think, run into some innings limits. Flaherty, we already saw Flaherty. Right. That didn't work. You can't bring him back here. He's probably going to be available for somebody else because he's pitching really well. Severino might be a good candidate, you know, but Fetty might be the guy that has the highest floor and the lowest ceiling and gives you innings, and, you know, you piece it together that way. It's not the sexy spot that you would want. If that scenario played itself out for the Orioles, I would like to see him get another reliever too. And I've seen, you know, that the Atlanta Braves, when they won the World Series there a couple years ago, they had, you know, two solid starters. The third and fourth, you had to piece it together. In fact, they had when Fried got hurt, you know, they had a spot starter, kind of a young kid that they did as an opener, and then they went all relievers, and they wore out four relievers, you know, and they pitched in every game that they were leading, and they won it that way. So, you can do it that way. It's a little bit harder to do, though.
Jim, could you see them trade anyone currently on the major league roster?
Ideally, no. But, you know, the thing that stands out to me is, you know, okay, Norby was up earlier. Or, you know, Kerstad's up now. If they're in their evaluation, you know, that's an area of depth, and they feel like, you know, one of those guys gets them, you know, a controllable. The issue that they have, as you guys have talked about too, that, you know, the starting rotation beyond this year doesn't look good. You're going to have to go out and spend a lot of money to get a free agent, or you can trade for it and give up, you know, some prospect capital now, and then you have control over those guys. That's why I like Crochet, because he you still have control of them for the next couple of years. But, you know, I would ideally, in this type of situation, you don't want to take guys off your major league roster. But all the GMs that I've spoken to, about a half, probably a dozen, half the league, somewhere in that range, between 12 and 15 GMs, every one of them is coming back saying, if to make a deal, you're going to have to take somebody and do like a major league deal for major league deal, or some kind of, you know, taking off of your roster to, you know, add, kind of robbing from one area of strength to add to another. And because of the Orioles' depth, you know, that's a, there is a way that they could do that. But it's not ideal. You know, I would just say that.
We're talking to Jim Duquette. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jim, let's move to stay in the division, but move to the Yankees. And, man, oh, man, does this look messy all of a sudden. Stanton gets hurt. The lineup's not deep. Yeah. Rizzo got hurt. He wasn't good before.
Bullpen stinks.
Okay. Bullpen stinks. Yeah. Rotation's been bad. Velocity down on Gerrit Cole. How apprehensive are you about what's going on in New York?
Well, you know, the thing about what's going on with the Yankees and even with the Orioles, you know, when you have these type of bad streaks, and, you know, it was five-game losing streak is, you know, as bad as it gets for the Orioles. For the rest of the league, that's, you know, some teams have 3 5-game losing streaks and still get to the postseason. This has happened once for the O's. But with the Yankees, they've lost 6 of 9, 7 of 10, somewhere in that range. You start to see the exposure of, you know, where they are, you know, weak. And I don't think it's as bad in the rotation as what it's looked like, but I do worry about their offense because of, you know, the way that their offense has looked. And I am concerned about their bullpen, too, if I were in Brian Cashman's shoes. So, you know, I think that there's some things that they have to fix, and they will. You know, they're not going away, but, you know, that I think they've been exposed during this last two-week stretch.
I want to throw a particular name at you because it doesn't come up that much, but I've been fairly obsessed with him for, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks now. We know Luzardo is now on the shelf, and this looks fairly serious, and he's been IL'd a few times this year. So that's probably out the door. The lefty I like is Weathers with Miami, who I know is dealing with a little hand thing now. It's not a, you know, he's not dealing with anything structural, and he should be back soon. And they've got to kind of get prospects somewhere. Like, I know they don't want to trade any pitching because everybody's hurt, but most of those guys should be back next year. Like, would you target him? Do you buy that he's turned the corner? Like, I kind of think he might be who he was drafted to be all along.
Yeah, I like what I've seen out of him recently. So I'm kind of with you. The issue, like you said, is the injury, and you know I don't think he's going to be out much longer. I also think that they would move him, you know, in the right type of situation, you know, and they've done, you know, as we've seen over time. And I know it's a different regime right now in the front office, but they have traded good starting pitching for, you know, position players that maybe haven't quite worked out. You know, I like Jazz Chisholm a lot, but you know, they did that deal was for Zach Gallen. You know, Gallen's one of the top starters in the sport right now. I know he's hurt, but you know, he's been, you know, bordering on a number one type starter. So yeah, the O's could make a deal, something like that, and it wouldn't shock me if Weathers, his dad played for me when I was with the Mets. So I know that he's going to be a good major leaguer, and it just took a little bit of time for him to figure it out. I think he's only 24 years old too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, he fits a lot of the criteria that you would look for in a young starter. And by the way, you know, a lefty that would be a great, you know, long-term fit for the O's.
Jim, how big of sellers do you think the Blue Jays end up being at the deadline?
So that's the big, one of the bigger question marks right now. Now, I had Ross Atkins, their GM, on my show a couple weeks ago, and he basically said no, under no circumstance was he going to be trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Bo Bichette. Now, hey, we've seen plenty of general managers change their mind, but let's just take it for what it's what he said and say that's the truth. If that's the case, you know, they only go with guys that are going to be free agents, there's not a ton of quality there. I mean, you say Kikuchi's going to be a free agent. They've got a couple, one or two relievers. They've got a catcher, Danny Jansen, but it's, you know, it's limited, and you know, there's going to be jobs on the line here, there too. So that kind of factors into how deep they would be sellers. So I don't particularly think that they'll change their mind and go, you know, to that degree. I think it'll end up just being, you know, guys that'll be free agents like the ones I just mentioned, you know, Kikuchi, maybe like a Jordan Romano if he comes back healthy, a Danny Jansen. That type of player would be, you know, available, but I don't see how it would be a fit for the O's unless they really loved Kikuchi.
Jim, right now in the National League, if you're not the Marlins or the Rockies, you're in contention for a wild card. Like, how do you see this whole thing shaking out? Because while there are more playoff spots, there's not enough for everybody left. So, like, how does this whole thing shake out?
Well, the National League is interesting, right? Because of so many teams that are involved. I had the Cubs GM on the other day, Carter Hawkins. He works under Jed Hoyer. And, my general feeling has been over time that the teams usually separate themselves. The trade deadline, everyone in front offices want to talk about moving the deadline. I think it's been set there for a reason, right? The end of July is kind of the perfect time frame for teams, for the sense of urgency to kind of kick in one way or the other. You know what your team is for 4 months in, and most of the time you can make the decision if you're a buyer or seller. And I think you'll see more separation. We've already started to see it a little bit here recently, where we actually have three teams that are over 500 in the wild card now, right? Right, Cardinals, I think, are the third wild card. They're two over. The Mets are one game back. They're 500. So, we're starting to see a little bit of that separation right now. If I were, putting money down on teams, I would keep an eye on the Diamondbacks. I'd keep an eye on the Giants, maybe the Reds as teams, that are going to get healthy here if they can hold on. Mm-hmm. I think the Mets will stay in the mix. I don't see them separating themselves too far, but they'll be around 500. So, the Cardinals will be in that mix. So I think there's like four teams. I think you see the Nationals fall back, the Cubs fall back. That group, the Pirates, they won't be in it at the end unless they make some major deals in the next couple of weeks.
Jim Duquette, always great.
Thank you
so
sir.
Much for your time, man.
Right,
we appreciate it.
Have a good one down there. See you.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.